You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good, AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for the Real Housewives of New York. Tonight's host is Mari Fagel. Joining Mari will be AfterBuzz co-hosts Deidre Bayer and Jackie Moran. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Real Housewives news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off, and the buzz continues, Mari Fagel!
Hey, everybody. I'm Jackie Moran, filling in for Mari Fagel tonight. But have no fear. We have tons of show for you, from the multiple parties to the hypnotists and liquid facelifts. There's so much to discuss, and Deidre Behar is here with me to break it all down. I mean, this is a crazy episode.
Oh, my gosh. It was ridiculous. But, you know, I really, really liked it. I felt like it was a more civilized and tame version of MTV's My Super Sweet 16.
Right, definitely. That's all I kept thinking was, like, super-sized Sweet 16s going on here.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, can I just ask you really quickly, you live in New York. Is that how 16-year-olds seriously throw their parties?
You know, here's the thing. New York City 16-year-olds, yes. I feel like, here I am watching the show thinking, this is insane. I actually grew up in Long Island versus New York City, which I think is probably better for me because, you know, once you hit New York City, you grow up. And that's
right.
What happens with young girls, especially with their moms, you know, on the show, in the spotlight. And I just thought it was crazy. I actually, when I was that age, I was a New York girl, but not New York City. And to me, I think this is crazy. I mean, they were like weddings almost, you know?
I know some people who will never, ever have an event like that in their lifetime, like let alone their wedding. So it was pretty over the top, but I liked what you just said, and that was a pretty good segue. You know, these girls, and they're 15 and 16 years old, growing up in New York City, specifically the city, and their moms are on television, and they're exposed to this, you know, glitzy and glamorous lifestyle. I think you are sort of grooming them at a young age to live that life of like opulence and whatnot. So little Avery Singer was quite interesting on this episode.
She was the mini Ramona. And by the way, we have a very special guest joining us later, and she has met some of the housewives. She's a New York style expert, so I'm really excited to talk with her. So I'm curious to know who she's met, and if she's met Ramona, I'm dying to know what she was like in person, but we're going to get to that later, because first we have to talk about these crazy parties, and Ramona with her daughter, Avery was a mini Ramona. She was like, I don't want this, I don't want that, I don't want it to be like a bar mitzvah, Winter Wonderland theme, tell me more, I don't know if I like it. You know, it was like, it was crazy.
Well, because Avery's been on the show since day one. She's always been, you know, in front of the camera, and she's had no issue with that. I liked her. So she's 16 now. The show's been on for 4 years. So she started when she was 12. She was a very mature 12-year-old. She was always the voice of reason, always saying, like, Mom, you're embarrassing. Stop doing that. Or, like, don't dress like that, stuff like that. Now that she's 16 and she's sort of growing a little bit older, her little voice of reason has sort of turned into like a diva attitude. And it sort of threw me for a loop because when I was 16, Lord knows, I just would have been happy with anything that my parents were willing to do for me. I wouldn't be like throwing down and saying, you can't do this and you can't do that. And I want this and I want that. It came off as a little bratty to me.
Right. And, you know, even the scene with them, her friends and her talking about like who's coming to the party or whatever, it almost felt like a mini Sex in the City.
That's what it was.
Her and her friends like chatting it up over whatever they were drinking, who knows?
Yeah.
And I hope not Pinot Grigio.
Right.
No, but they were just like so thought who they were. And you know what? I can't say it's just a New York thing because you do get to that age where you and your girlfriends like think you know everything. And, you know, with her party, she maybe took on the diva attitude because it was her party time, you know, kind of like brides turn into Bridezilla.
Yes.
But she was definitely Miss Grown Up, Miss, you know, the beds, the whole bed situation. You definitely, I felt like Mario was having a heart attack.
He was. And, you know, I know that you put that in the notes. You wanted to get my feedback on that. I totally buy the whole, it's not a bed, it's a place to sit. It was like a cabana. You know, they have those in nightclubs all over the country. They're not expecting people to get, like, down and dirty and, like, hook up on these beds. They're in like a public venue, so they're there for you to like sit on. And you know, I understand that they're 16 and the hormones are raging and they probably do want to like make out and whatnot, but I think Mario having a little bit of a heart attack over that, I thought that was just purely hysterical.
Right. Well, that's a typical dad.
Yeah.
Being protective of his daughter. And let's look at the two parties, because the other party obviously to talk about is Luann with Victoria, starting off saying she wants a very simple affair,
yes.
You know, Miss Classy, the Countess, wanting, you know, a simple affair at a club. But don't worry, because clubs enforce the no drinking rule.
And is that the biggest joke of all time?
Oh, my gosh. I was like, okay, yeah, right. I think I actually wrote that down. Because
yeah.
That's a naive Luann right there.
Right.
Somebody who drives into the city and leaves her in the Hamptons, she's obviously naive, because she also was, like, making out with Jacques and, like, left the party early as well.
Right.
So,
do you think the Countess...
Shopping...
Sorry, continue.
Well, and the shopping session where they were, like, she was trying on these Paris Hilton dresses.
Oh, yeah.
And she ended up, you know, Luann shopping for herself.
Of course.
And they say it's such a simple affair, yet you walk into this club, Arena, which I know this club, and it's definitely an adult situation there.
Is it like a she hot spot in New York City right now?
Yes. It's like, it's definitely not a party place that's just like would be in, that's a mature Sweet 16 right there.
Okay.
And the performers, the fire eaters, the violins, you know, they're all dancing it up, and like, and then Luann's like, she doesn't want me at her Sweet 16. Like, she doesn't want mom there. So here we are, like, at this club. Like, mom leaves. She's making out with her boyfriend. What did you make of this whole Luann simple affair, as she called it?
Well, first of all, I wanted to ask you your thoughts on this. Do you think Luann left the party early because she truly feels like, I don't want to step on my 16-year-old's toes. I want her to feel like she has her privacy at her party. Or do you think she was just in a hurry to get home and, you know, get some action with Jacques?
I think the latter. I mean,
Yeah, me too.
she was, like, totally all, she's all about, and I don't mean to judge her as a mother, but it comes off on the show that she's all about herself. She tries to make, like, she's this great mother. I feel like she thinks she is, but, like, when my mom threw me a party, yeah, she had her friends there. Yeah, we had our family there. She was paying for it. I was
right, appreciative
of it.
Yeah.
And it's like a family. It's supposed to be a family affair. Friends are supposed to be like the second part of it.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I think she was all about getting, you know, getting off. Going off with
Freudian and, slip.
Yeah, really. And just didn't care. Now, let's look at the comparison, because Ramona, all the ladies leave Luann's party and walk into Ramona's party, and here they are saying, you're a hypocrite because you didn't want it at a club, yet you dressed it up like a club.
And there's alcohol
you
there.
You have alcohol. You have a lot of adults, you know, which I want to know if you think that was fair or not. I think it is, because if mom's paying for the party, she got your limo, she got your great space, she can have her friends there. You know, that's my take on that. But, you know, the beds were there. All the ladies walk in and call her out on it. And, you know, it was it a club in disguise? Like, how did you feel about Ramona saying it's not a club?
Well, I 100% agree with you. Whoever's footing the bill gets to determine who's invited. I think it's pretty much that simple, with rare exception. But, you know, Ramona is putting together this extremely over-the-top, very generous Sweet 16 party for her daughter. If Ramona wants to have 16 friends there, or she had 30 friends there. You know, people probably who have grown up with her daughter and seen her daughter mature and go through all sorts of milestones, I don't think that there's any issue with that. Ramona wasn't, like, having her face on the cake, and she wasn't, you know, really doing anything to steal the spotlight or the attention away from her daughter. I think it's perfectly suitable to have the adults there as long as they're in, like, you know, their own area and the kids don't feel like they're being spied on. Also, another point I wanted to bring up is that you have to know your customer. I don't know how much you followed in the news, but let's just say Victoria's been on TMZ a few times for things that are sort of naughty. Avery, right, from what I understand, is straight-A student, like horseback riding, very sound mind, sound body sort of a girl. If having alcohol at the party isn't, it's not going to be an issue because obviously Avery is not like a rebellious wild teenager who wants to throw back some tequila shots. Maybe right, with Victoria, it's a different story. So maybe Luann, being a good and cautious mother, took action that she felt was appropriate by, you know, just completely banning alcohol from the party. But I have to believe that there's like bouncers and bartenders that like would card these kids, and they would know the difference between Ramona's friends and Avery's friends, and they wouldn't be serving them to begin with. So I did not see an issue with there being alcohol at a party where people who were over 21, Ramona's friends, were present.
Right. I think the lady's calling her a hypocrite. Honestly, I disagree with that, because if you think back to Sweet 16, as I recall, parents were there, friends were there, they were drinking, the kids were dancing. Mm-hmm. Like, that's normal to me. Just because it's in New York City doesn't mean you're being a hypocrite and it's a club. No, it was a loft space. It was beautifully decorated. And I have to say, Ramona comes off as a more together mother. I'm sorry to Luann. And, you know, this is purely based on what we see in the show. But if you look at the two daughters and the situations, I really feel like Ramona has more of a hold on her daughter and was doing the right things. I really don't think she was a hypocrite at all.
Totally. And I think what's important is that in the end, it looked like both girls had a really nice time at both of their parties, and they both got to wear pretty dresses and dance with their friends and be in this incredible space. Like you said before, both parties were completely decked out, over the top, the decorations, you know, the adornments, what they had, all the performers and the lavish food and the mocktails, I believe was the term that they used. How could any 16-year-old not completely just eat that up and have the time of their life?
Right. Let's just say I'd be happy at either party. I would have gone to both.
Totally. Maybe we can get their 21st birthday invites in a few years.
Right, exactly. Hopefully they're listening.
Yeah.
We're invited. But anyway, now let's talk about the third party on the evening, which actually I think it came first, but too many characters to handle.
Oh, my
God. Surprise party.
Ridiculous. And
honestly, first of all, Luann is Miss Party Planner because she's throwing Morocco trips, she's throwing Sweet 16, she's throwing a surprise party for Jill now.
Right.
And all the ladies, of course, arrive at Shea Josephine. And just to talk about a few of the characters going on here, Simon's in a dress. I
highlight of the episode.
That.
Oh, please. Like I would ever miss that. That was the highlight of the episode for me. Let's be real.
And just to make it even funnier, and I don't know if this is a coincidence, but he's, of course, standing next to the Murray Hill Drag King that they had there.
Yeah. With strategic placing right there.
I have to think that was planned, but I don't know.
And he was wearing, his dress was Zarin Fabrics, correct?
Oh, that's okay, yeah.
That's what I thought. So, I heard somebody say, and you know what? If that's the case, more power to him. If he can rock a dress made out of fabric that's sold at the store that Jill owns, I think that's awesome, and that's an awesome tribute to the person that you're celebrating.
Right, but what a way to do it. Of course, Simon would do it that way.
Right.
I mean, of all the people to be wearing a dress of her fabric,
naturally,
it's Simon.
It was Simon, exactly.
So that was hysterical, but then it just kept getting weirder because Jill arrived. First of all, Ramona jumped on her. Luann was, I think, very jealous and was like,
Yeah, she was peeved by that. Like, yes.
Yeah, like it's all about you, Ramona. Meanwhile, it's supposed to be about Jill. She goes on to comment saying, I don't even know what page those two are on, and we'll get to that later because I have a feeling I know. But, you know, Jill obviously, I think she genuinely was honored that they threw this party in her favor. But then, I just thought it was crazy from Cindy coming down the stairs as Josephine Baker with her crazy reading and, you know, to Kelly's speech, which was a mumble fest. I didn't even make sense. She was like, sorry I wasn't here in the beginning. Like,
yeah.
What kind of speech is that?
Kelly.
To Ramona putting on the red wig and being like, Bobby, I want bigger diamonds. Like, you know Jill was not laughing.
So inappropriate. So wildly, incredibly inappropriate. Wrong place, wrong time, like to the 12th power. Ridiculous. I thought that was so out of line. You're there to celebrate your friend and her birthday. How dare you make fun of her or tease her? Even though Ramona, you know, she has a good heart and everything comes from a loving place. I really do think that at the end of the day. But to put on a red wig and impersonate the birthday girl and to make it seem like, you know, she's just this brat with a really thick accent who bothers her husband to buy her bigger and better diamonds. Ugh, that was so distasteful.
Well, here's the thing. If you're on a... Okay, I understand if you're doing, like, a roast and it's, like, you're on a great page and you've been great friends for a zillion years.
Right,
and,
different.
You know, it's totally lighthearted. But the rocky road that those two have been on, this was so not the time and the place to do it. And didn't you feel like she was sort of trying, even though it was supposed to be funny, she was really trying to take a stab at her?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, weren't they just in a fight like 12 hours ago? That's why it was bizarre to me from the get-go that she would be the first person to jump on Jill when Jill walked through the door. You know, you would think if you had somebody there who you had sort of a conflict with, that would probably be like the last person that you said hello to. You just, you know, politely go up and say, hi, you know, I just want to let you know I'm here for your birthday. I'm really excited for you and I'm glad to be celebrating with you. But it's just typical bizarre Ramona behavior. Maybe she had too much Pinot when she was getting ready.
Right. Maybe she stocked up on the PG early. But
right. I don't know.
Honestly, it was, I think, I agree. It was totally inappropriate, and she went on to talk behind Luann's back. So, see, Ramona, like Mari, I feel like I miss Mari tonight because she's this back and forth, you know, each woman is back and forth. Here's Ramona getting on my bad side again because she's talking behind Luann's back, calling the party claustrophobic, narrow, inhibiting, and, you know, when somebody throws somebody a party, I just don't think it's right to go on national television and bash it.
Well, especially when you were all about the party when you were at the party, and then it's like after the fact, she has no problem when it's just her and a camera, a confessional interview, dissing it. And I just think that's wrong. Obviously, if you felt that way at the party, you should have said something then because it just comes across as very like distasteful and rude, and I don't even know the right adjective to describe Ramona anymore, to be honest. Have you been to that restaurant though? I was curious.
Honestly, I feel like I know of it, but I it seems so crazy that if I had dined there, I would remember.
Right, with all the tacky decorations.
Yeah, it was definitely. It's an interesting spot, and I feel like I know the name. And you know, I may live around the corner from it. I have to look this up because
yeah, please do, and please go
there. There's a
really
crazy restaurant by me, and this definitely looked like a crazy restaurant. So I'm gonna have to confirm that later. But
well, I just wanted to know from your opinion
if you
agreed with Ramona and you think that it's like small and claustrophobic and inhibiting to me watching it on television. If you needed to get up for whatever reason, it didn't look like you were, you know, plastered to your seat by any means.
Right.
Ramona was trying to make it like they were in a closet, and it certainly didn't look like that.
It's a party in New York City. You can always find a way to have a good time.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
You know, the only other thing that I have to call out that might have been even worse than Ramona was Luann's performance. I mean, I know it came from a nice place.
Oh, give it up.
But really trying to have a music career. I mean, was I the only one who thought that I had to turn it on mute at that point, or was it just me, or what?
I mean, who knows what her motives are? Like, is she doing that little song and dance and writing, you know, an original song for Jill because she loves her? Or is she doing it because she knows that it's going to be on national television and she's going to get some exposure for it? I think if she learned anything from the hot mess that was Money Can't Buy You Class, like, two years ago, it was to kindly stop singing because America doesn't like hearing it.
Right. I mean, that was just, oh my gosh. Honestly.
Her outfit? She looked like a Vegas showgirl. It was so bizarre.
Yeah, and Ramona goes, is that a drag queen coming down the steps? I mean, it was just laughable. And
yeah.
I wrote this in my notes that it would be cute if it was a friend to a friend and she didn't have a motive behind it, but obviously she is trying to be a musician, and you're just not proving yourself, honey. You really have to work on your act.
Yeah, I think if you're gonna showcase your talents on national television, you need to polish it a little more than she did, because that performance was mediocre at best.
Oh my god.
But well, can we talk about Kelly's speech really quickly?
Sorry?
Can we talk about Kelly's speech really quickly? I love her. She's my favorite. I'm obsessed with her. But it's not about you. Why was she kept apologizing as though anybody cared or even noticed, for that matter, that she walked in late. No one cared.
You know what it was to me? Is if it was you saying that to her on the side, that would make sense. But that's not a speech that you stand up and say out loud in front of everybody.
Right. She doesn't owe everybody an apology, only Jill.
Right. And it was yet another crazy moment from Kelly.
Yeah.
Like, I really just don't know what to make of her.
Well, I had been missing my crazy Kelly moments because she's had some decent advice that she's dished out in the past couple of episodes. So this sort of filled my quota again.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, oh my gosh. She's just, it's like, I don't even know
yeah.
what to make of her.
You never, she's a wild card, definitely. But sorry, I just wanted to address that really quickly.
You know what? And I think that's the perfect word for her. She's a wild card. Well, they're all wild cards in their own way.
Right. I do agree with that.
I'm very excited because we have our special guest, Pamela Peckerman, is going to be joining us shortly. But first, let's go to a quick commercial and we'll be right back.
Want to find out what the AfterBuzz is about?
Janice is a drama queen.
This is the divide that is going to carry the series.
Give us a call. 424-256-1729. 424-256-1729.
This television, and they want it to be as dramatic as possible.
I mean, it's Shakespearean.
You never know what goes on behind closed doors.
Find out why AfterBuzz TV is the number one source for after-show content.
Now, in the eyes of Jimmy, Nucky is a villain.
424-256-1729. 424-256-1729.
I mean, who would you guys rather hear that from? Your husband or your best friend?
The wig! The wig will come out.
When the TV show is over, get your AfterBuzz on.
I hope you didn't feel like I'm rushing into this segment, but I am just so excited because, you know, we're always wondering, are these girls being real? What are they really like? And tonight we're going to have the special guest, Pamela Peckerman. She's a New York style expert, and I know her very well. She's mixed and mingled with multiple Housewives cast members, and she's going to give us an inside look at what they're all really like in person. So,
and Jackie, we actually have Pamela right on the line with us.
Hey.
Pamela?
Jackie? Yeah?
Pamela, are you there?
I am.
Hi, it's Deidre Behar and Jackie Moran.
Hi, ladies. How are you?
We're so good. How are you?
I'm doing very well.
Oh my gosh, we're so, so thankful that you are able to join us tonight. Jackie actually sent me a link to your website earlier. You are a fashion maven.
Thank you.
And you are so fabulous at what you do. And we're so, so, so happy to have a New York City expert who's rubbed elbows with these crazy ladies on our show tonight.
Yeah, crazy is definitely it.
Yeah? I mean, tell me a little, why don't you tell the viewers a little bit about your background and how you know some of these women?
So, we're all in New York, and so we kind of all travel in the same circle. My background is I'm an accessory and style expert, so, you know, we all do the red carpets and we go to similar functions. We run into each other, and so actually some of the ladies have attended events that I've hosted in the past. And they're definitely an interesting bunch.
Yes.
A very interesting bunch. I think you could go on for hours on each and every one of them.
Oh, I'm sure you could. Jackie, are you back
Pamela,
on the line?
I'm here, by the way, ladies. I'm sorry. I must have lost you for a second there.
No.
Hey, Jackie.
No, Jackie.
Pamela just
can
joined us.
Can you guys all hear me okay?
Yes, we can. Yeah. I can hear you.
Oh, great, great. So, Pamela, tell us your inside scoop. We're dying to hear.
So, like I was just, saying, obviously we all go to similar functions. I would have to say that I'm trying to think of who's the craziest. It's so funny. And I often think it might be Ramona. Like, you never know what's going to come out of the bag. It could be good. It could be bad. It always seems to come from a good place, but you just never know how it's going to come out. And so if you recall, there were, like, a few episodes back where Jill didn't invite her to certain, when she was doing her, like, underwear line or whatever, the undergarments.
Yeah.
Because you sort of never know what's going to come out of her mouth. But you know what? I think she's a classic New York woman, kind of trying to do it all. She's very business savvy, so I really like her. You never know what to expect, but I like her. I've seen her at events, and we've conversed, and yeah, you just never know what to expect from her.
Can I ask you if you think people give her an unfair rap? Because, she's sort of being portrayed as the villain or the aggressive mean girl this season. And I want to know if you think that that's an unfair assessment. Because I think deep down inside, she has a good heart and she seems like a good mother and a good, loving wife. But what's your thoughts on that?
Oh, she's not the villain on that show. That's definitely not her. That's not her role. I mean, they might be trying to put her in that box, because she hasn't been in that place and they're always trying to, create something. But I would say that she's just somebody you never know what's just going to come out of her mouth. One day she's going to say, why are you working with Kodak? Because it's an antiquated company. And you look at her and you're like, what?
Yeah.
Kodak? And then the next day, she's trying to walk down the runway with her crazy eyes. And then she's doing her, Renew. And I just think that she's a quirky personality. And so when you put quirky on TV, it just looks even wackier. Definitely not a villain. I don't see her as that. I think she always comes from a good place and not the villain. I think somebody else, a former countess maybe, could be a villain.
Really?
But definitely
not
Ramona.
I love that, Pamela. I agree with you.
Sorry. I don't know Luann personally, but what you see on TV from season number one all the way through now, season number four, I would not have tea with her.
Wow.
That's all I have to say about that.
Very interesting.
I would not darling her over TV. I'll just say that.
Wow. Jackie, does that surprise you?
See, I absolutely have said this, and I'll say it again. I would never want to meet her in person, but I like it when she unleashes the bitch factor on camera. But you're right. I would never sit down with her. And
it's she's a gorgeous woman. I think nobody can say that she's not. She's very pretty. It's obvious. I think she used to be a former model, she probably could still model. She's beautiful. And so she's pretty to look at, but I don't think she's pretty to talk to. So that, and I don't understand why she's always wearing boots. I have seen her on the red carpet, and I've seen her, when we're watching it on TV and in person, and she's like almost always wearing boots. I don't understand. You have legs for days. What's the story?
So,
I really want to know. That really bothers me.
As an accessory, expert,
it's one of those. I can't sleep at night. My inner Jill comes out, and I'm very verklempt about it. I don't understand. I can't. I don't understand it. I don't know what the boots bothers me.
Well, what do you make of Jill, by the way? Because she's kind of back and forth with me as far as if I really think she's a loyal person or not.
Jill is very interesting. I understand her very much. She's from my tribe, okay? So I get her. She has a very Jewish maternal instinct. She's very yunta, and honestly, I kind of have that as well. So, and I think that sometimes what comes off on the bad side is that she could be, like a little overbearing. Like, what do you mean you don't understand finance? What do you mean, Sonia? Like asking a million questions. I know a million Jills. I mean, so that's just sort of like, that's her nature. So I think she comes from a good place, but sometimes it does come off very overbearing. So you have to just kind of like know who you're dealing with, know how much information to give to that person.
So you do think, though, at the end of the day, she has a good heart and good intentions?
I do. I actually do. I think, you know, even like thinking to like the whole fiasco that happened with Bethany, and there was definitely a lot of wrong. It seemed like there was a lot of wrong on her end. I think she kind of regrets it. Like, we saw that a few episodes back, you know, when they were in Morocco and she was like crying that she didn't have a chance to apologize. I think she regrets that whole fiasco, both personally and publicly, because it really put her in a really bad light with a lot of people because Bethany was so popular. So yeah. I'm on Team Jill,
usually.
I don't
know about that. Deirdre, what do you think? Ooh.
I mean, this is my issue with all the women. I never know. I'm not kidding you. It literally changes by the hour who I like and who I don't like, with the exception of Kelly Bensimone, who I worship. I think that she is just fabulous on all levels, and I love her sense of humor and her quirkiness. But the rest...
You want to go to Kelly Land?
I love her. Ever since they brought her on the show...
Place.
You know, and I wanted to bring that up earlier about the incident, the Sweet 16. Like, Avery, Ramona's daughter, mm-hmm. had to go up to Kelly to sort of make some peace at her party. Like, she didn't feel comfortable going up to her mom. She had to go up to Kelly to sort of mediate the situation and divide the adults from the kids. But I love Kelly so much, and I love her style, and I love everything that she wears. And I mean, I sort of feel like, you know, a girl like flipping through a magazine being like, oh, she's pretty, I want to be like her. But I do love Kelly. The rest of them, I think, have their malicious moments, and then I think they have their nicer moments. So I'm sort of torn on that. But I did want to ask you, Pamela.
Yes.
My favorite person, more than Kelly, is Simon Van Kempen. Please tell me you've had moments with him.
Okay. I've seen him up close and personal in the hot pants. I've even seen him in the hot red pants. I've even seen him perform his
debut single.
I'm Real.
Yes.
That's what he called. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I'm hoping that the joke's on us and that he obviously knows that that's like, you know, recording is not going to be his shtick. You know, that's not where the bread and butter, that's not where the bread or the crumbs are going to come from.
Right.
I think he gets the game. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think him and Alex kind of get it. Like, they know that there's part for show. I think they know what's part is for home. Like, they don't even show their kids on the show anymore. And, like, I can't say I'm a fan of Simon because I don't think any guy should really be that much on the show. Otherwise, we'd be called the Real Housemen of New York.
Yeah, he definitely gets the most FaceTime of the guys.
Yeah, but he's a character. I'm a big Alex fan. I'm a huge Alex fan. I like the fact that she tries new fashion. It doesn't always work, in my opinion, but you know what? She's not a sheep. And I like the fact that she shows herself as being vulnerable. Like, when she had the whole conflict with Luann, you know, she was obviously scared at some moments, and you saw that, but she said what most people are probably thinking. So I'm on the camp Alex. Simon, yeah. I mean,
all I have to say is you have to just hope it's a joke, because if he's being serious, he needs more than a hypnotist.
Oh my god, did you listen to the lyrics of that song?
I feel like
song?
They get it, like the whole thing with the lingerie scene was just like
too much.
My god, that was too much.
Oh my
but
god.
You But I believe that they're
front.
In love. I believe that they're in love. That's
you
for
know,
sure.
It's funny that you say that about Alex, because I don't know if you agree with me on this, Deirdre, but I actually do think she does come off as one of the most likable characters.
Yes.
Because I really don't think she mm-hmm. has it in her to be kind of as evil as the other ones.
Absolutely. I don't know if that is attributable to the fact that she sort of portrays herself as, I'm not like this Ivanka Trump, like I live in a penthouse sort of a lady. She's more normal and more relatable
yeah.
on that level. And I know that she definitely has like a working background. I think she has a background in like graphic design. And
She was a graphic designer. Like, that's how she got on the show. I mean, that was her career.
Right. Okay.
I think she did the original Bethany label.
Oh, I think that is right. That's why she went to
yeah.
Bethany went to her again to help
mm-hmm,
her.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I do think Alex has a certain likability, because if everybody on the show was Jill Zarin dripping in Versace home interior, that could be
be
a turnoff to a lot of people. So I don't have a problem with Alex. Sometimes she oversteps her boundaries, but for the most part, like during the Luann lunch, I think she handled herself very maturely and very dignified. Luann was.
Yeah, that was like round one, two, and three for Alex. I love that scene.
Absolutely.
Love, love, love.
Yes.
And again, from a fashion perspective, I feel like, you know, we sort of know what to expect from the rest of the ladies. You know, Kelly is Americana, and Luann is in her boots all the day. And, you know, Jill is in a sheath dress or something. You know, she's all about the diamonds. I love the diamonds. Oh, my God. And Ramona is in her David Meister. And Alex is always trying something new. I think there was, like, a few episodes ago, like, she was wearing a designer Luca handbag, so like nobody knows, and she was wearing it and it was exciting, and I just like the fact that hit or miss for, you know, individually perspective, of course, she's trying something new.
Yeah.
I like that she's not a sheep, and certainly Alex, her husband Simon is nothing like a sheep.
Right.
That.
I read that. Remember that dominatrixy dress that she wore a couple episodes ago? She wore it to like Jill's party at Saks. I can't exactly remember where it was from, but I know that she got so many emails about like who designed it and where is it from that she wound up auctioning it off for charity, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah. And they do a lot of charity, which is lovely.
Yes, always.
Yeah. Now here's a question. You're obviously complimenting Alex's style. Would you say she is your favorite as far as personal style on the show?
She's actually not. I compliment her because she tries something new. You know what I mean? She's not going to just stick to a formula. I actually think, let's see, Sonia has really good moments. She has really good moments. I have to say, although I would wear it a little bit differently, I'm a huge fan of David Meister, so there's a lot of pieces that Ramona wears, or there were a few episodes where she was like in his studio. I'm obsessed with his dresses. I feel like you can be like 25, 55, and 105 and look amazing in his stuff, and like nobody can look bad in a good sheath dress or a great ball gown. So I actually like some of the pieces that come out of her closet, and I wouldn't mind taking a little Darkwing Duck swim in Jill's diamond collection.
Oh,
just
who
a good old, you know, jump in the coins, swim in the diamonds, you know, backstroke through a few pearls, you know.
Yeah, that would be nice. Can I ask you really quick?
What woman wouldn't dare to dream, right?
Exactly. You know,
Pamela,
can I ask you really quickly, Pamela?
I know you have a few baubles yourself.
I have a what?
You have a few baubles yourself.
I have a few baubles.
Right?
Yes, I have some baubles.
Pamela, can I ask you something really quickly about David Meister?
Sure. Yes.
You'll recall a few episodes back that Ramona got all hot and bothered when she found out, I can't remember who it was, but someone else was going to be wearing David Meister. And she went off on this tangent about how each woman has to have one designer who they stay true and loyal to, and you can't steal and wear stuff from my designer. Is that how New York women function? Because I think that that's completely ludicrous.
I mean, I think it's hysterical. I feel like because they're all on the same show, she felt like somebody was stepping on her territories. Certainly David, I'm sure, did not, you know, mind the situation.
Yeah.
I think there's something to be said about the fact that, you know, she's so connected to the brand, especially through the show, that for another character to wear, it's a little bit odd. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm on the show and I'm always wearing Hervé Léger and all of a sudden somebody wants to put on the same, you know, a dress as well, and now it becomes like their baby, well, I'm kind of already doing that. Now, granted, like, if we're just in the social circle up and about, you know, some people have problems with it. You do hear, you know, if, especially if they're friends of friends, you know, well, I'm always wearing such and such, and you shouldn't be wearing it so much. There is loyalty.
Totally. I completely understand what your point is. But, yeah, like, I guess maybe when you say something like Hervé Léger, which has a very distinct look to it, I suppose because I'm not as familiar with David Meister that I don't really notice Ramona having a distinct sort of fashion or sense of style. But yeah, if somebody was wearing Hervé Léger morning, noon, and night, and someone else did, I'd be like, oh, she's totally, you know, jacking that other girl's style.
I would say, again, if they weren't on the show, maybe it wouldn't be such a big deal, but because there's only seven. And by the way, have you noticed we haven't talked about the others, like Cindy or Sonia, like they're not even on the show. It's so funny. Like nobody like talks about Cindy because I feel like she's too normal for them. Like she's too, like she like gets it. She doesn't want to be involved in all the shtick and all the drama. And she looks at them like she's looking at the zoo.
Completely.
I swear.
Pamela, because we have some news and gossip just on that exact topic. So I think that's very perceptive of you, actually.
Do you have news and gossip now?
Yes. You are on top of it with the news and gossip. Well, before we get into the news and gossip, I want to thank you, Pamela, for joining us. I love your insider style perspective. And to all of our fans out there, if you want to get more of her style take, go to PamelaPeckerman.com. It's an amazing website, and I just love everything you have to say about style. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Jackie.
Hopefully you'll come back again. You're so knowledgeable on all these ladies and all the
juiciness. We'll talk more accessories next time.
Fabulous.
Bye, guys.
I look forward to it. All right, well, that's Pamela. I love her. Isn't she just so great, Deidre?
Oh, my God, she's hysterical, and she really does know what she's talking about. She's a very cool, interesting woman.
New York stuff.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, she segued us perfectly because we have some juicy news and gossip to share this week, so let's get into our news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Okay, well, you hear it here first. Alex McCord and Cindy Barshop are not returning to the Real Housewives of New York City.
The horror.
Insiders very close to the show have told HollywoodLife.com exclusively that stars Alex McCord and Cindy Barshop will not be returning next season. Bethany Frankel and Jennifer Gilbert were obviously two of the most recent departures from the Roni cast, and Cindy was brought in obviously to fill their shoes. Alex has been with the cast since the beginning. All the other stars, Sonia, Ramona, Jill, Countess, and Kelly, are all expected to come back. But what would you do if we lose Alex and Cindy?
Okay, here's my take on this very quickly and simply. Cindy doesn't want to come back. Alex has to be some sort of a political move that she wasn't happy with, or she's not getting paid enough. It has to be something like that because she brings the drama. Her husband is pure 100% entertainment value. There has to be a deeper story as to why Alex wouldn't want to come back. Cindy has two brand new, 5-month-olds that she's trying to raise, and she's got a really, really busy business that she's got to focus on. So I understand, like Pamela said before, she looks at these women like they're zoo creatures. I totally see why Cindy wouldn't want to come back, but Alex, there's got to be a deeper story there.
I agree. Either way, if this is true, I'm shocked by the news, and I'm waiting. I won't believe it until I hear them sort of take to Twitter or to their blogs to confirm or deny.
Yeah,
but
because again,
I have to say I will be really shocked if Alex leaves the show.
This is coming from, quote, show insiders, so you never actually know how legitimate those sources are. But like you said before, we're just going to have to wait until they actually address it on their blogs or till Bravo issues a statement, because Alex leaving the show, that can't happen. Cindy, I'm fine. I'm not emotionally attached to her at all. But Alex, come on, that can't happen.
You'd lose Simon and the dresses and the hot pants.
Yeah, and you know that's not going to be a pretty day for me when I have to say goodbye to my beloved Simon.
Well, let's hope it's just rumor for now,
yes.
Although it is said to be confirmed.
Fingers crossed.
We shall see. But the Real Housewives brought the drama to the red carpet this week in New York City for the premiere of Bad Teacher, where Jill Zarin revealed a new chapter in her ongoing feud with co-star Ramona Singer. Jill actually, when approached by People asking if her and Ramona had resolved their issues, she replied, Ramona who? Yeah, it's ugly, in her words. It turns out that Jill now blames Ramona's husband, Mario Singer, for their latest spat, which was thrown around the news. She was quoted to say, last weekend, he shoved me. I was at a friend's house for a dinner party. I was on the line for the buffet, and Mario started screaming at me uncontrollably. He then pushed me, and he shoved me with his hand. He was blaming me for his wife coming off badly on the show, and he repeated things that he thinks I said that he didn't like. Now, according to Ramona, Mario and Jill did come face-to-face at this party, and he asked her about making up stories, she said, but it never got physical. Now, Jill, on the red carpet, has a bodyguard with her saying she's not taking any chances. She's quoted to say, I heard Mario was going to be here. I wanted to make sure nobody touched me.
Ugh.
So what do you make of this drama on the red
carpet?
Gross.
That is such a Spencer Pratt moment to like think that you're so cool and bigger than you actually are that you go out and hire your own, personal bodyguard. I think things get really touchy and sort of teeter on like a really emotional line when you start throwing out the whole violence card, especially when she's saying a man pushed her. And that's just, that is going to get ugly because are lawyers getting involved? Is she going to file some sort of a lawsuit? I have no idea. But if this is all not on camera, it's all just going to be he said, she said, and just more Ramona Jill drama, which exhausts me. And I hope we can put an end to that sometime soon because it's just getting ridiculous at this point. These women are in their 50s. Learn to behave like ladies.
I totally agree. Come on, guys. You're on a red carpet. Hello, with the awesome Cameron Diaz and Justin Timberlake, and you are talking about sex at a Hamptons party, and you have your own bodyguard. Like, honestly, do you think anybody really cared about them if
no.
Cameron Diaz was 5 feet away?
No. When you have Jason Segel, Justin Timberlake, and Cameron Diaz on a red carpet, I think Jill Zarin sort of ranks, I don't know, on the F list at that premiere. No offense.
Yeah. So I guess my take is grow up, guys, and enjoy the fact that you're at a Bad Teacher premiere because I would have died to have been there.
Totally. And stop making the if that actually happened, don't take it to the press. Take it to your lawyer. Do it in a dignified manner if you actually have a problem.
If you're really concerned, you would have handled it differently and not thrown it all over people.com and all of these crazy outlets
right.
where it would get you more attention. Like if it genuinely upset you, you would be handling it completely differently.
Completely. Agreed.
Well, that's all for your news and gossip this week for Real Housewives. And we have lots of predictions to also make for next week
now,
because it looks like there's
TV
some Simon drama.
Simon drama equals Simon FaceTime on the show, which equals Happy Deidre. I'm just going to put that out there.
Well, it was kind of crazy because we see at the end of this week's episode, Bobby and Simon kind of having a thing at Ramona's daughter's Sweet 16.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a whole hate blog thing where Bobby got pretty mafia on him and was like, do we have an understanding here? So that's kind of I feel like they left off on that note because there's a sign of things to come because it looks like next week the ladies are like, having a Simon upheaval, calling him a Simon cyber bully. And, of course, your favorite Kelly in Kellyland has some words with Alex.
Yes.
So what do you think about that?
Well, my issue was, why didn't they tell us what it was? Bobby confronted Simon at the party, and he said, oh, there was something on the hate blog. Why don't you, like, if you're going to confront somebody, you need to, like, have a concrete detail attached to it. And you need to say, look, I saw that you said XYZ on your blog. Can you explain why you wrote that? Can you tell me where this is all coming from? Because it's coming out of left field for me. I don't think Simon's a cyber bully. I think everybody has their own blog and they're entitled to their own opinions. All the women take to their blogs after each episode and they write up a little spiel about how they think the episode was, you know, carried out and how they were looking and how they behaved. And they provide explanations for all that. So who knows? Simon's always had issues with the ladies at one point or another. If it's not Ramona, it's Luann. If it's not Luann, this time it's going to... Who is it again? I'm sorry. Bobby Zarin.
Yeah,
you know
Kelly.
What I mean? Or Kelly. Yeah, it's like it gets exhausting trying to keep up with all these people. He's wronged somebody at one point or another. So we'll just have to see how it all parlays.
Maybe the ladies are just getting jealous that he's taking over their spotlight and they're trying to figure a way to get him out.
Well, you know that he caught my attention, so whatever he's doing it well.
I know you love your Simon.
I do.
And, you know, maybe this is the start of the rumor, the fact that they're not returning to the show. Maybe this is all going to unfold, you know? We're
yeah.
going to have to wait and find out.
Oh, my gosh, I cannot wait. If it's something that serious that would lead them to not decide to come back to the show or to get kicked off the show, whichever option it was, it has to be something pretty intense.
I know. So I'm actually really looking forward to next week and seeing how this all plays out.
Yes. And Mari will be back with us. Yes.
Yes, I believe so. I missed our Mari tonight.
I know. The triple threat.
I'm so glad we had Pamela to join us. I love her. So Pamela Peckerman, thank you so much for joining us this week. And of course, Deidre, I love chatting with you on these ladies. I
Likewise.
Feel like you never get enough of the drama.
Never. Thanks for hosting tonight.
Thank you. And guys, that's all for your AfterBuzz TV Real Housewives. And we'll be back next week with Mari and the whole gang.
Yay!
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.